Hello and welcome to Talking Too Loud. I'm your host. Okay, I lost my voice there. I don't know what just happened, but I think I just became a teenage boy again. My voice cracked. Yeah, that was absurd.
That was 13-year-old you.
Okay, here we go. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Sylvie. Hello, welcome to Talking Too Loud. I'm your host, Chris Savage. And I'm joined as always by you, Sylvie. And also everyone listening and watching.
All of us. The gang's all here.
The gang is here. Well, thank you for being here. We have another great episode. I'm super excited because today we got to sit down with Anand Sharma, who is the founder of Gyroscope. And Gyroscope is a health app that I literally use every day. I love this product. I actually talk about it loud all the time. I was just showing off one of the features to someone in person like 10 minutes ago. And so it's just, anyway, a thing I love. I'm super excited he came on the show. And really, we got to pick his brain about like, his inspiration behind the app, how they've scaled their product with an insanely small team. And they're using so much AI in really cool, interesting ways. And also talked about the challenges that they're facing now with marketing and how they plan to overcome them. So it was a very, very cool interview.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I was having some tech issues. I didn't get to be a part of it, but I listened. Yes. I listened back.
You listened back. You were there for part of it, and then you started getting really choppy, and then you were
then
gone.
Then I was
and
gone.
You came back, and then you were gone. And then you sent me like the saddest text ever. And you're just like, just go on without me. Just go on without me.
So dramatic. It's true. I teared up.
Yes. That's ridiculous. But, you know, this show is called Talking Too Loud, and I know we kind of already are, but Sylvie, I have to ask you, what's got you talking too loud?
What's got me talking too loud? You know, I'm sort of sad that it's the end of summer. So I'm trying to pack in as much beach time as I can. Went out to the Rockaways last week. Had a lovely time, you know. Ocean was just a little chilly, but it's starting to warm up.
But refreshing, probably.
Refreshing, very refreshing. And in a couple of weeks, I'm headed to Maine. So get to experience the ocean there.
You love Maine. That's incredible.
I love saltwater. I love Maine. I love brine. Saltwater.
Yes.
Maine brine. So soaking
up.
That's right. Soaking up the end of summer. That's what I'm talking too loud about.
Yeah. That's great.
What about you? What has you talking too loud?
You know, for me, we've already started annual planning at Wistia for next year.
Jeez Louise.
I know that sounds early.
It does.
But this is how we do it. And so the senior management team is all together in person for a few days. And it's just been so fun and energizing. And, you know, it's like, I love this stuff so much. I was like, what are we doing next? What aren't we doing? Like, how are we focusing? And there's exercises. There's post-it notes. There's like very deep conversation late into the night. And you know, business is my sport, so I live for this
is
stuff.
Your Olympics.
So that's what's got me.
This is your version of the Olympics.
That's
happening
right.
At your
that's...
house.
And it 2024 is
2024 Providence.
House. That's right. Yeah, we did it here last year too, as a way to kick it off, and it was really fun. So decided to do it again here this time.
Amazing.
But you know, it's important when you have a lot of people together. It's like, what kind of food are we having? And there's people who are going for runs. There's people who are going for swims. There's people who are lifting. There's people who are just optimizing sleep. How do you track all this stuff? How do you know if it's working? You need a product. You need a tool. Today, we're talking to Anand from Gyroscope about how they help people do that. So let's jump in. Anand, thank you so much for joining us. I'm so excited to have you here today. I have been using your product, Gyroscope, for years. It's a product you use every day. And I'm so pumped that you're here. So thank you. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much. Yeah, excited to be here. And thanks for inviting me and being one of our great customers.
Of course. So obviously, as you know, because you're here, this show is called Talking Too Loud. And that's because when I get really excited, I can't control the volume of my voice. I don't think there's a measure for volume of your voice in Gyroscope, but there probably should be. But we love to start our show by asking our guests, what has them talking too loud? So what has you talking too loud these days?
Yeah, see, I don't usually talk very loud most of the time. My one big pet peeve is monospace fonts. And when I see someone coding, there's a 99.9% chance that they're using a monospace font from like the 70s. And I've been trying for years to like educate people, and I've just kind of given up now. But basically, like typography and like seeing people doing these kind of things, just based on inertia, just gets me really. It's really
like
interesting.
Not questioning what, like why.
Yeah, and I guess for me, I maybe like I'm the only person who like started out doing design before coding, and so for me, I was like, oh, this font is not great. Let me fix that. When I was like 14, because I didn't know better, and I didn't know like you have to use like a monospace font because that's like traditional. But I guess no one else like got that memo, and so now it's just been like passed on in traditions for like decades. And now it's like too late to change. Like I tried to change my friend's computer. He was like, "This feels so weird. I don't like it." And he lasted like about two minutes. So I've been every person I see, I try to tell them about it. But now I usually stop because then I start talking too loud, and then they.
You can tell you're extremely passionate because you are. You do start talking too passionate. Too loudly
apart from
about
that, I don't think anything gets me like really angry or anything. I'm usually
good. Well, look, I want to start. Obviously, I want to talk to you about Gyroscope. So you're the founder and CEO of Gyroscope. For people who don't know, it's an app that lets you track and approve everything about your health, all these different health data points. I'm a very long-time customer. I feel like I've been using Gyroscope for like 7 or 8 years. It's a long time. And I know a bit about your story. I know a lot about the company's, the product's evolution, I should say. But I'd love for people who don't know, can you tell us like what inspired you to start the company and where are you today?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's actually, I think we're just about coming on 10 years now since first Amazing. Started. Originally, it was more of a personal project. So rewind 10 years ago, living in San Francisco, building a startup with my buddy Andrew, a learning tool for students called Quizlet. And so a bunch of high school students would go on there and study for their tests and do their homework every day. So we were building that. It was fun. It was growing. I was like 23, 22. And so things were like pretty good, but like my health was not great. I went for like a physical and they were like, hey, your cholesterol's high and all these like issues and stuff. And I wasn't like overweight, but also not like quite as fit as I wanted. I think most importantly, I just didn't really feel great. But all this was kind of like on the back burner because it's like the website's down and we need to fix it. And there's like, you know, important stuff going on.
You're sacrificing your health for the company, basically.
Yeah. I mean, we'd stay up until like 2, 3 a.m. every night, which was fun. I enjoyed it. But there was a lot going on. And then one of the turning points was I went like on vacation to Hawaii and I wanted to go scuba diving. And like, I was like excited. And then like, you need this like doctor's note to like do it. And then I went and they're like, oh no, you have asthma. Like you're not allowed to do it. And I was like, okay. This, and so now then that was like, I think one of the first times where like, I was like, couldn't do stuff. And like the health stuff was like starting to like, actually like, you know, be a limitation. And so that I was at that point, I was like, okay, I really need to like figure this out. So kind of started looking at it a little more seriously. Not really much stuff existed. Like, I guess Tim Ferriss had like just written a book or something on like, you know, what to
the
eat
for our body or something.
One of the 4-hour ones.
4 hours to do something. Yeah.
but yeah, so that was kind of a starting point. That was the original mindset, and basically built like a website or a dashboard to track all my stuff, my blood levels and my walking and running. And back then this was like all kind of hard to do, or there wasn't really like, you know, apps and devices to track the Appsist and stuff, for example.
So you build this website, it goes viral, you know, you have to scale it, and you didn't plan on building another startup, but now what makes you actually decide, hey, I should do this?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think it was just pretty fun to build it, and so wanted to keep working on that. And then also, like, once I realized like I was using this for myself and checking it every day and learning all these things, and like the idea of going back to it and not having this like this tool was like not great. So I wanted it to exist. Ideally, if someone else had built it, I would just be able to use it and relax. But I was like, this needs to work and it needs to stay up, and it's an important like infrastructure. And so,
but, you know,
so
can I just stop you for that? Because like, that's kind of amazing.
Yeah,
that you like built something that now you felt like you couldn't live without.
Yeah.
It is. It's really cool. And it's funny because I remember I was looking at my email the first time I used Gyroscope, and I signed up in January 2015. When did you?
Okay, yeah.
When did you start?
That was, I think, that was like when we found out like our first batch of like invites. Okay. So I think you're one of the first. And
it's so funny because I remember at that point we started Wistia in 2006. So it had been, I guess, 8 years. And I remember realizing, whatever you measure, like that's what you manage. Like that's how you. And so I remember thinking to myself, I want to be in better shape. I need some tool to do this. And then suddenly I saw you do it. I was like, this is so cool. And then I had a similar experience when you did launch it to the world. It was like very quickly. I was like, well, how else would I do this? Now there's no other way. So it's just, because it's just kind of a remarkable moment. And I think a lot of people, when they're building companies, don't realize that that's actually possible. That you can make something that really changes how you work or changes how you live your life in such a way that actually, like, you can't imagine life without it. So sorry, I just think it's like, I don't want to breeze by that because it's like a sig. It's like, I think if you're doing your own startup and you're listening to us, you're thinking about this, like if you get to that point, that's like an amazing point to be at. But continue.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, the hope was like, okay, by building this right, then I could also improve my life and like my day-to-day like existence and stuff, which is like a kind of a cool problem to have. Like my previous company, we were helping people like get better grades or something, which is like kind of good or important if you're, or like other things, you know, well, this will help you make more money. But I think this is like, okay, how do you actually like feel better daily and like change like what's going on in your mind is like also an important problem, right? And like improvement there is just going to really get you a lot of benefits. So that was like the starting point. And also realizing this was like a whole new industry that was starting up. Like back then, you know, the Apple Health Kit hadn't even been announced, or it just had been announced but hadn't been released yet and stuff. So kind of saw that like this would be a thing that people were going to use like 10, 20 years from now, and kind of what we did and these like how we designed it would like end up shaping how this whole industry worked, and everyone would kind of, you know, copy each other and stuff. And so it was kind of being like on the ground floor of like the internet or one of these new things that's like right when it's starting. So, you know, not wanting to like sit on the sidelines and be like, oh yeah, I could have done that, but then I didn't. So that was kind of some of the initial starting points. Also, I thought it would be pretty easy. I think if I'd known how much of a pain it would be, I would have like considered.
Well, that's how again, that goes, but... isn't it? I feel like that's like a classic, the classic like entrepreneur journey is like people are like, would you start again? I'm like, well, if I knew what I knew now, maybe not, but like, I've done it, so might as well keep doing it. It's like the amount of pain you can go through building something is like remarkable when you don't realize how much pain you're going to go through.
Yeah.
So at this point, do you have a co-founder?
Yeah. So I just built this for myself, and then once we started getting a bunch of emails of like, hey, is this an app? Like, how do I get it and stuff? I was like, I need to start doing it. So I messaged my buddy Eric, who's like one of the best programmers I knew, and the first I was like, hey, can you how should I do this and stuff, and so then we started hacking on stuff together, and he ended up joining on like day one, and we started the company together. And so then we kind of hired a few of my like smartest engineer friends I knew that were around, and we started like just building it. So that was like day one, just like all basically engineering focus of like, how do we scale this thing up from just like me on this, like with this like cron scripts or something that, you know, people can sign up for and store their data and stuff reliably. So
did it worry you that like Apple had launched HealthKit, or were you looking at that and you're like, this is amazing? Cause I think as a startup, you know, you're so small, Apple's so big.
Yeah.
Did you see that as a good sign, as a bad sign? How did you perceive that change?
Yeah, I think for the most part it was good. I think like anything there was exciting, and we tried to really position it. Again, I think it was like any new tool or hardware, it's not really a competitor. It's like, and we're not trying to build a competitor to all these where it's like don't use any of these things. I think our model was like, a lot of people are going to make hardware, and there's good hardware companies out there, especially Apple, but there's not really much good software, and there's always going to be demand for like better software and smart, you know, better tools. And so we'll do that part of the things, and we'll get the data from these things instead of everyone else who's like making their own devices and stuff. And so we're like, we're just going to do the software. Like hardware seems like a hard problem, and kind of going more broad instead of, you know, just doing one thing. Like, hey, we need, you know, we need like 100 trackers. And so if other companies are making trackers, that's good. We like, we want the, our mission is like, hey, you should track things. And so anyone who's like espousing that and spreading that is like, is good.
Is good. Yeah. So you found a way to fit in with like the beginning of a growing ecosystem, whereas like more ways to track your data, better get it into HealthKit and then Apple Health, and then you can pull it into Gyroscope and give you the insights and the context. So like, it's just all good basically.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like a scary thing that Apple got into the game.
Yeah. I mean, it's always a little scary, I guess. Like, oh, but for the most part, it was exciting. And HealthKit's been really great for us. The big nightmare scenario for us was if there's like some company that just like keeps all your data super private and then we don't get access to it. So it was kind of this interesting like golden age of like open APIs at the time, which is now like no longer a thing. So there's like a very interesting moment in time where this was like possible, because you have all these big companies and they have the data, and then I'm like, I want that. And it's like, okay, cool. And now we have it and we can do stuff with it. And so we're able to build apps that were as good or better than what like, you know, the biggest companies in the world were able to do. So we have the same exact information about the human body and what's being tracked and stuff. So, you know, if you're building the hardware, you have like no advantage. But the nightmare scenario was like someone would just be like, hey, it's proprietary and you can't have it. And they had built their own little mini ecosystem. Fortunately, there was like, I think, enough customer demand as well, where it's like, oh, we want to have our data and do that. Now it's not so much of a thing. Like all the APIs we kind of originally like built that like V1 on basically like no longer exist.
Yeah.
Either like the companies have shut down in like half of their cases, or they're just like, hey, we no longer believe in this. You can't have the data anymore. Like Twitter and Instagram and stuff we were using for like virtually not super important part of it, of like just your photos and stuff. They were like, nope, no API access and stuff. So that's kind of evolved. And now we've kind of have moved to like our own trackers and stuff for the stuff that's super important. But it was cool to be able to like pull all that in and just like have people be able to do that.
That is very cool. Okay, I really want to get into where the product is now and what you're doing with it. And you're doing a lot of really amazing stuff, like stuff I haven't seen in other products and apps. But before, I want to frame that for folks. So can you tell me, like, you've never raised venture capital, right?
No, that's not true. We actually raised a couple, right when we started, we raised like a seed round.
You raised a seed round
from True Ventures and a bunch of angel investors and stuff. So that was like about 700,000.
Okay, so, but you didn't raise a big venture round. You only ever raised 750,000. Right?
We've raised like less than 2 million total. So
which is very similar to us. We never raised venture. We raised our first angel round was 650,000. Then we raised 800,000. Our second angel round. Mm. We ultimately ended up doing a leveraged buyback later, but. Okay, so I think that's interesting. And then for context for folks, how big is the team today?
Yeah, so the team's pretty small. We have 3 people full-time, about 20 total with contractors and other people and nutritionists.
You're 3 people full-time?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Now, I'm going to set this up. So obviously, I've been using your product for a very long time. I track all my health data in it. I used it, you know, it was like, there was moments in time when I was like using it a lot, and then using it less, then using it a lot. And in the last couple of years, you have done a number of things that caused me now to use your product every single day. I can't remember exactly when you introduced the health score, but I really started to pay attention to it. I talk about it to others. The health score is basically, it's like a composite of all of your different health metrics. So like, are you weighing yourself? Like, are you tracking your food? How active are you? Are you working out? Are you meditating? Screen time? All these different things. Mine right now is like 88. So I tell people that I'm going to die at age 88. Is that how I should use that score?
If you have it on strict mode, then that's kind of like try to calibrate it to that. So
yes,
yeah, it's not guaranteed, but that's,
I know it's not like guaranteed. But okay, so you have this score that you add like native, like nutrition tracking and stuff in this, and then you add coaches. And I've tried lots of different coaches for lots of different things. Like I use Future. I have like a who builds workouts for me. I've done that for years. It's great. I worked with my body tutor at one point. I don't know if you know them, like Adam Gilbert, great guy. And he built this coaching practice around like nutrition. And then I was playing around with your stuff. And the AI that you've built in this product and the suggestions that you have is like the best implementation I have seen with like giving you suggestions and inputs at little moments. And the speed that you are updating this product is unbelievable. Like it's basically every single time I open it, there's like something new in it that is all about basically getting me to change behaviors, which is one of the hardest things to do. So how the hell are you shipping so much stuff, innovating so much in your product, constantly making your product easier, better, faster, leveraging AI on so many different fronts? The breadth of Gyroscope is huge. I can't believe it's like this, the size of the team it is. So how are you doing it?
Yeah, good question. I think this past few years have been really exciting. Then like the new tools that are out and AI has really let us go a lot faster than we used to. So stuff that would have maybe taken us a month or two, like in the old way, like 2018, 2019, is now maybe like a day or two.
Okay. So explain that. What is happening? Well, how are you doing things in a day that used to take you a month?
So I think there's a few layers to it. I mean, one is just like AI being a tool that helps speed stuff up. You know, whether for like a complex piece of code or something like that, or when you run into a bug, you know, it would make 2 days of like, let me figure this random Xcode thing out. Whereas now it's like you get a thing back. So I think that helps a bit. A lot of it is we've spent like the first 5-6 years building this infrastructure now, where it's like the second time, it's like the first time was like, you know, it took a year to build like this report, but the second time I can just copy and paste that and like use that. So I think a lot of it has been like, we have this core framework in the app now where you have all this data already that then now like referencing it is like two lines of code. And there's, you know, obviously all the previous stuff with like that we had like we're building on top of that, so we're not having to build, if we had to build it from scratch again every day, that would like be more work. So I think a lot of it has been that's been helping us. And I think the other thing now, the big change also, I think there's a major change in how apps are built or should be built, can be built, will be. Okay. I don't know if anyone else has done this, but I think it's the right way. So I think it feels a lot like I don't know, in like 2005 or something, where people were switching from like Flash was like the cutting edge. Like,
yes,
if you're a professional, you make websites in Flash. And then there was this new thing called like CSS, which like random teenagers were doing. I was like, I don't understand how to do it. It seems too complicated. So I'll try this like JavaScript thing. And then you could just move much faster because it was like a better structure and easier. But it was like a switching cost from like this old correct way of doing it. So I think now it's like a kind of a similar feeling where basically it's a lot more like talking to people and managing a team of like interns rather than like writing code.
Okay.
To like build stuff.
Okay.
And so, you know, used to, you have to like predict everything and write code and plan stuff out. And now I think it's like the way of you can build stuff since you have these new tools is like, it's a lot more like talking to a person and like telling them, hey, I want you to like do this and go make this and make it happen.
Like which tools are you saying though when you're talking about them?
Like the app.
Oh, the app itself.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Like that, you know, like that's just how it works now. And like if you're, you know, if you're building AI, like if you're an AI product or just any like a product in general, like that's just like how you instruct now, and like programming has changed to like writing essays instead of like, you know, writing code basically, which can kind of go a lot faster with and be a lot more like flexible with, and you have a lot less bugs and stuff. So it's kind of taken a while to like get used to that way of thinking and working, but it is, yeah, I think it is pretty exciting, and if you do it right, you get like much better quality and speed and stuff.
I mean, I think what you're saying is probably mind-blowing for 99% of people who are watching this. I mean, you don't seem to have your mind blown. You're just like, I think of course
my mind was blown last year. Now I'm like kind of, I think, okay, covered. But yeah, so now, like, you know, we can have our coaches and stuff like program the workout builder by like changing like the instructions for like how to do warm-ups and stuff, right? Instead of being like, hey, you need to learn
JavaScript.
That's
what's so crazy.
That,
like, yes, because like you will give suggestions in the app to me that seem impossible to get. Like, I've gotten this suggestion, which was like, try not to finish your kids' leftovers or like have like late night snacking. And I'm like, oh man, this is hitting me. Like, this is hitting me hard. Like, this is it. This is the moment. It's like, I'm eating pizza with my kids and they're like, give me their slice. And it's like, that's where I go too far. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. From on my side, like, it is like such a remarkably different experience than I ever could have imagined. And if you had a human coaching you versus the AI, the human would not know all these details or necessarily give you this insight in the moment. But in Gyroscope, I open it up and I get the insight in the exact moment. And so it feels so different than really anything like this. And I have not seen another product of any of the products I use that has taken this approach that you have taken here.
Yeah, I think in the next 4 or 5 years, it'll start to like become a thing.
I think that's right. I think what you're doing is basically the future of where everyone's going to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think like if you already have an app that's successful, it's going to be hard to like delete all of it and like change it and stuff. So I think it'll take a while for people to switch over. But I think for us, it's been pretty easy to like or kind of made the jump earlier. I think I was like on day one or like 2 days after you, so like we need to like switch and delete everything, and I think some people didn't like that, but we were kind of moving forward. And yeah, I think it's we'll see. I think it does the amount of flexibility and personalization and stuff that's possible is like just,
it's unbelievable.
I think really important. And
have you seen this like really change the metrics of the business? What do you look at there and what are you seeing change?
Yeah, I mean, I think revenue and stuff hasn't really gone up yet. I think we still need to do a lot more like marketing and get this out to people. But like for our current users, like the amount of engagement and stuff is to go on like way up. Like people would like previous check it like once a week or something, and now it's like many times a day. And so I think like, yeah, once people are in, like it's just much more sticky. We used to have a lot of issues with people logging their food and really have to like remind you, and like on like for 1 week, like on January 1st, like people would do it and then they would kind of drop, yeah, off. And now I think everyone's like pretty, you know, consistently doing that all year and has everything, and people have like it hasn't really been an issue. So yeah, a lot more I think data coming in, as well as like people checking in daily, getting more out of it. So that's been really exciting to see. I think we've mostly been focused just like on our current users and like getting them to like a really, yeah, good spot and stuff. So internally, I think, yeah, like our that those numbers have improved. I think we still need to figure out how do we like, and this is kind of coming up next for the next few months of like, okay, how do we explain this to new people who like haven't done this before and aren't familiar with that way of thinking, and like convince them that like it's the right way to do it and stuff.
That makes sense. And that seems like the challenge, right? Because it's like something that if you use all aspects of Gyroscope, you're going to get a lot of benefit. But to actually change behavior enough to use all the aspects and to trust it on all the different things, could take someone time, and it's hard to explain. And it's interesting because like we've had so at Wistia, we've gone through a huge transition since like 2021. So mm-hmm. basically the history of the business, we're video hosting, management of videos and analytics, and like an amazing player, really incredible analytics. We had video analytics before YouTube did. We show you across the whole audience, but person by person, who's watching what. If you have first party data, you can tag that. You can get real insights on how to make better videos and great SEO, all that kind of stuff. But very focused on that. And then in 2021, we realized that like everyone was seeing their computer as a camera now. And it was changing expectations, just like the iPhone when they added video had changed expectations. This is changing expectations again. And so we need to broaden our platform to do more. And that's actually what our customers were asking us for, is like, hey, we want you to do way more stuff. And the history of Wistia from a marketing perspective has been, we've basically, a lot of our marketing has over the years has been around teaching people how to make videos, how to light, how to script, how to edit, which concepts, where it should be. It still comes up all the time. So it's actually a really natural fit to start to build those features in. So we built recording natively into Wistia, and then we built editing into Wistia, And then we built a webinar platform into the product. And it's all just like Gyroscope, really seamlessly connected. So if you do a live event, the recording shows up instantly in your account and you can edit it right then. And we have, you know, use AI to create transcripts and all that kind of stuff. So you can edit the transcript to edit the video. Hmm. And then you can just quickly post on your site, or you can follow up with the people who didn't show up at the webinar. And all those things are so fast, you save tons of time. And so it's very exciting, but then the challenge is when you become a much broader platform, figuring out how to market it, because people don't know necessarily to look for an all-in-one platform unless they already have that problem. And so they're looking for discrete. What we found is they're looking for discrete things. So it's like, you want a great video recorder, or you want a really easy video editor, or you want like a very engaging live webinar experience. And then once we get you in on that, we can help you understand those other things. Mm-hmm. So it's actually really similar in that respect. And so it's a challenge, but obviously if you have confidence that the product is, you're killing it with the product, it makes it much easier.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of similarities there. We're actually, I think, starting to do a lot more video stuff too. So I need to get more set up on Wistia. But yeah, a lot of it is, how do you educate the people? And so like, you can have the tool, but then it's like, how do you actually use it and get people to understand how to use it and stuff? That's kind of been our big challenge. I think early on we thought it was like, oh, this is more of a technical challenge. Like, okay, we just need to get it working and then everyone will come once they see like these insights are possible or something, was like a kind of the naive view at the start. But then I think we quickly realized this, like, actually, no, it's like more of a getting people excited to like improve their health or make changes and stuff is like the hard part, and like the human parts of it. It's like not, you know, not the engineering problems, but like the human parts are like the ones that we're like still need to figure out and like crack and stuff.
And I think for you all, I think like the brand is very unique in app. And I think if you can extend the brand out into your marketing and go do some bigger brand things and some really, like, I don't know if it's like creative health challenges or something of like, I feel like there's so many things you can do that will really get the word out there. It's funny. There's so much in Gyroscope, like meditation is another thing, right? Like you have meditations, you've had them for a while.
Yeah.
I, in my experience, have gone through moments in time. I got really into meditation. I meditated daily for like 500 days. I used Headspace to do that. And then once I did that, it's easier for me to do it. And I don't do it as much. But you have this new like thing, the morning routine.
Yeah.
This is brand new. See, I'm using new stuff. And I've had it for like a week. And again, there's like, these are the things you should do as your morning routine. I'm like, oh, interesting. And so I go to the meditations and it prompts me to just a text field. What type of meditation do you like?
Yeah.
And I put in like a, you know, 2-3 sentences of stuff. Then later, you know, I go in, it says, do you want to do a meditation morning routine? I click 3-minute meditation. And there's a voice talking to me. And it's what I asked for, is like a minimal guided meditation, like not overly done. And it's like, good morning, Chris. Like, you're going to be doing blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And I can't tell you how magical that feeling was of like things that I had put in text showed up with a voice saying my name in your product. And I'm saying this example because I really want people to try it, because it's so cool that on all these details, it's all in there. It's all easy. It's all sticky. It's like, it to me, it what you're doing feels like the future of where like most products and apps are like dream to get to.
Thanks. Yeah. That's like the new custom meditations, like a new thing we're trying. I think we've got like 20 people have used it so far, but I'm excited about that. I think like that's going to really be powerful for people. Like, I think we used to do all these things with humans, right? Like in our early version before AI existed, we wanted to build this experience, but it wasn't possible. So, we hired a bunch of humans to do like all the parts of it. So I think that gave us like a lot of experience and preview of like what it could be like or what it should be like. And, you know, having like a human meditation coach like on Zoom, like guiding you and leading the meditation, or in real life or something, is like really powerful. Right. But I think not everyone can afford a human coach or wants a human coach or is going to have that with them 24/7. Right. And so I think that's been our big roadmap here now. Like, how do we get these things that we used to have for like $200 a month that were awesome to everyone, like 24/7 real time and like fully fully personalized. So we'll see if it catches on. I do think, yeah, I think once people try it out though, and like kind of experience that and see hopefully it's like kind of a magical experience, and you can start to like really improve your daily life and like have better mornings and feel better and stuff every day. So I think that, you know, starts to really compound. It's not just like weight loss or something.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what is the vision? Like, where do you, like, I know you want to help people change their lives, but for the company itself, is it to stay an independent business? Is it like, do you think about it like that? Is there one big goal, or is it just the journey? What's the vision of the company?
Yeah, I mean, I guess from the product focus, you know, we really want to build a new operating system for the human body and give you full control over what's going on. So that's really been driving it behind the scenes of everything we're doing, whether it's product stuff or fundraising or to actually enable that and bring that to everyone. I think in the short term, we're really doubling down on weight loss. And that's like kind of the thing, like almost like 90% of people signing up on are like, hey, I need help losing weight, or I'm obese, or hey, I want to, you know, lose 10 pounds or something. So really, and making that easy to do and guiding people through it step by step in a scalable way is kind of our big focus for like the next few years, I think, and bringing that to everyone will have like massive health impact on the world. And then beyond that, there's plenty more in the roadmap for like, you know, improving your mind and your stress and how you feel and productivity and things like that. And so there's like a pretty clear roadmap of like issues with the human body that we want to solve, and like obesity and body compositions, like the current one, that's like, I think pretty big problem that'll take us a while to really solve. But I think we now have like all the pieces in place, and it's more about like getting it out to people. So I think, yeah, I think this year we'll probably like raise more money and grow the team more to be able to really scale up and improve the quality, and especially like reach more people. I'll do more marketing. Marketing's not something I really enjoy, so it's on the back burner of like, oh, you know, a few weeks here and there I'll do it. But I think we really need someone like 24/7 who's like,
yeah,
out there.
We should talk about that
telling
later,
people to sign up. But yeah, that's kind of the next phase here. I think now that like we've built in, it's working well, and I feel pretty comfortable like just taking someone's phone and installing it for them, and like it's gonna improve your life and stuff. I'm curious to hear like more about your personality, because I think there are like certain people who really seem to like gravitate to it and like this approach, and then there's I think others who are like, I don't want to be told what to do, or they have like a different approach to life. But I think it's kind of skewed towards like you know, like tech startup founders or CEOs or people who are like already looking at dashboards and graphs and stuff.
Yeah.
And like there are like doctors even who like have that training of like, okay, I know how to like look at numbers without getting scared, and there's like solutions are here. Whereas I think casual people maybe like don't do that.
That's really interesting, because I think I do look at a lot of numbers, and basically my assumption for most things is like, okay, we look at a graph. If it's bad and I pay attention to it and I figure out the inputs, then I can make it better. And then what I get addicted to is progress. So if I see I'm making progress on something, and then it's much easier to keep doing it. And I look at it as like behavior change is hard. So I have to find what's the one behavior change I want to make that I think is going to impact us, and then just start doing it. So the fact that the triggers for the behavior change are in the app is helpful, I think, for me.
We have gotten a lot deeper on the behavior change science in the last year or so, which has been cool. There was this like book about like, yeah, basically like positive reinforcement and like how to train animals and dogs and stuff like that. But really all animal like creatures and stuff, and even humans, are kind of on the same like basic inputs. And so basically, like, it turns out like positive reinforcement's like the number one method, and like when you do something, it's like, hey, good job, or like you're rewarded with like a cookie or something, or like and then your brain like hey, that's good, let me, you know, produce some dopamine and like reinforce this pathway and to do it again, and it gets stronger. And there's very basic stuff like that, and you know, the reward can get swapped out, so you can have like symbols and stuff, right, like the clicker for like a dog instead of giving it a treat, because there's like too much gap between there, and then your brain quickly realizes that. And for humans, humans, we have, you know, we've built one called money that's like basically the global reward system, right, that drives our behavior and rewards and stuff. But in the app, we built a token system, which is kind of also used to like make sure we don't go way over our AI bill because it's expensive. but it's also used as like a reward system. So like when you do something good, it's like, here's a token. And very quickly, surprisingly quickly, I mean, that's kind of what all the studies and science say, but it's cool to see it working where that really like drives your behavior. And when you get a token, it's like your brain and like your lizard brain is like, cool, good, like, well, we'll,
I like tokens.
Good. We'll do
like
more.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think, really driven the behavior where like, and it gives you like your control over your own habits and your brain for kind of maybe the first time for a lot of people of like, oh, I want to do this, but it's not behaving. And so we'll see how that works. But so far it's been pretty powerful. So now we're going to also launch like a new game, kind of more of a game mode with levels and stuff. So you can really level up and see your progress in like more fun, interesting ways. And like, making that more accessible to, I think, like a normal person, like, okay, they'd probably rather play a game than like look at business metrics and charts and stuff that like maybe we might enjoy.
I see that as a game too. So,
yeah. So I think it's similar, but like making it even more exciting and more understandable and more fun. So you like, you know,
that's
really
cool.
Get these things right.
Anand, I wish we had more time, but we're running very short. I am going to ask you some rapid fire questions very quickly. So try to give me short answers on these. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. What's your favorite app right now?
Mm-hmm. Can I say Gyroscope?
Of course. Yes. Okay, great. If someone could do one thing to improve their health, like what should they do?
Oh man, I would probably, one would be eat more protein. It really depends on the person though, because so many people are doing different things wrong. Like, you know, if you're drinking alcohol every day, then you probably just fixing that would help. Or if you're not sleeping well, then that would help. But it's like different people will have really different things that would help them. So really tailoring it, you know,
like find one thing and improve it.
Find the one. There's usually one issue that's like really holding you back. If you have your health score or graphs, where it's really obvious, and just like, you know, focus on getting that right.
What's the best business book you've read?
Oh, I guess I like reading biographies, and so I think I really like Shoe Dog.
Oh yeah, that's
one of my favorites. Yeah. There's a handful of those. Surrender Experiment. I think, seeing like how other people have like built their thing and what the progress was and stuff like that. I think to me, that's been like the most instructive.
This one's close to my heart. I'm a huge blockbuster movie fan. I like watching like, you know, big popcorn disaster movies. Do you have a favorite like blockbuster movie, like summer movie?
Oh yeah. Let's see. My favorite movie I saw, recently was, I'm going to blank on the name. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Yeah, it was incredible.
That was amazing. That was probably like out of recent memory, like the most like amazing movie that I saw in theaters.
That's a great one. Look, thank you so much. This is a delight. Where can people connect with you to learn more, and where should they follow? What should they do?
Yeah, so the Gyroscope app is in the App Store. You can just search Gyroscope, GYROSCOPE, and then you'll also be in our newsletter and can email me from there. I'm also April Zero on Instagram and Twitter and LinkedIn and social stuff. So that's APRILCERO. My birthday is March 31st, so that's where that originally came from.
Amazing. I hope we chat again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This has been really fun, Chris.
So when I listened back to this recording, I could tell you were just so excited to be sitting down with Anand and talking about this app that you use every day that truly terrifies me. But you know what? He said something at the end, and I feel like it's a really interesting point. He was like, people who tend to gravitate towards this app are people who are used to seeing data and graphs and numbers, and like that's not scary for them. That's like insightful for them. That's stimulating, invigorating. And I was thinking, like, I don't know that I have that relationship to numbers the way that you guys do.
Well, it's definitely a personality type And it's funny, actually, like, to go back to what I was talking to you a lot about, like, the senior management team's all together, and we're talking about our Enneagrams.
Yep.
And Anand asked me about this. He's like, are you a three? Three is like an achiever person who basically just like is constantly striving to improve. And like, yes, I am that. And this is, for me, it's like, I look at the numbers and they're bad. I'm like, I can make them better. Versus like, it just motivates me.
It motivates you. And I think for other people, it paralyzes them.
Yes. And that's why I think it is interesting. It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
But like, I think it's like, if you can match it, I don't know. It makes me think about products in general of like, sometimes it's hard to tell, like, why are these like three products all in this category and why are they all working? And I was like, no, they are actually slightly different in what they prioritize or what the differentiation is. But sometimes I think it is like literally personality is playing a role.
Oh, it totally
like,
is. Oh,
my personality like is why I love sharing my stuff
100%.
And other people would truly hate it. And so it's just interesting because it's like you want the match between the founder and the company they're working on, you want the match between the customers and the product. And I don't know that, I mean, it makes more sense than like a personal health product or anything you're using in your day-to-day life that personality is going to show up more. But I think it's a often overlooked reason around why some things work for some people and not for others.
Yeah. And I guess it also makes me think about personalization as like a way to kind of mitigate that not everyone is going to have that same personality. Not everyone is going to have that same relationship to numbers. But through personalization, you can kind of start to target different people differently. I don't know. It was really an interesting conversation when it comes to making a product and really going all in on that product. And then now the challenge for them is marketing. And how do you get people to like to know about the thing?
And it's hard for everybody, I think, for people to know when is that the biggest challenge?
Yeah.
If you market something and people don't actually stick with it, it's not a very good idea. Unless you're trying to get some initial folks to pay attention so you can figure out if it sticks with them. So there's a lot of art and a lot of science like in building and scaling any product business, any campaign. And I think just admitting that you need both and trying to figure out when to use them, I think is like the important part. So anyway, really fun interview. So fun to have Anand on. And I'm sorry that we had technical difficulties that stopped you from joining the party.
It's okay. I feel like I attended, even though I wasn't there.
Okay, good. Well, hopefully everybody else who listened and watched felt like they attended. And after attending, like, please let us know what you think. Please rate and review the show wherever you listen to it. We are doing more to push video episodes out of Talking Too Loud. So they're available on YouTube. They're obviously available on Wistia.com. They're also available now in Spotify. So trying some stuff out there. Please comment. Tell us what you want more of, what you want less of. And you can also, of course, message us directly on LinkedIn or email us at ttlpod@wistia.com. Any other announcements we need to make, Sylvie?
That's it.
Golden. Well, good to see you.
Good to see you.
And I'll see you soon. Bye.
Talking Too Loud is brought to you by Wistia. Hosted by Chris Savage. Produced by me, Sylvie Lubow, along with Adam Day. Executive produced by Wistia Studios. This episode was mixed by Maria Passingham of Edit Audio. Listen to Talking Too Loud wherever you listen to podcasts. And hey, rate and review us wherever you listen. And check out more content from Wistia Studios at wistia.com.